The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Kelly Wall for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is poetry. For the next half an hour, I will be reading to you from three different poets: Amanda Gorman, Elena von Liestout, and Dr. Seuss. The first author is Amanda Gorman. Amanda Gorman was born March 7, 1998, in Los Angeles, California. Ms. Gorman was educated at Harvard University and is a poet activist. She was the first ever National Youth Poet Laureate in 2017 and founded One Pen, One Page, a nonprofit promoting youth literacy. A Harvard graduate, she is a best-selling author and advocate for social justice, gender equality, and climate action. I will be reading two poems from Amanda Gorman from her collection of poems titled Call Us What We Carry. The first poem is called What We Carry. As kids, we sat in grass, fished our hands into the dirt. We felt that damp brown universe writhe, alert and alive, earth cupped in the boat of our palms. Our eyes waxed wide with wonder. Children understand, even grime is a gift. Even what is mired is miraculous. What is marred is still marvelous. Ark. A boat like that which preserved Noah's family and animals from the flood. The word comes from the Latin word arca, meaning chest, much like the Latin word arcere, to close up, defend, or contain. Ark can also mean the traditional place in a synagogue for the scrolls of the Torah. That is to say, we put words in the ark. Where else to put them? We continue speaking, writing, hoping, living, loving, fighting. That is to say, we believe beyond disaster. Even endings end at the lip of land. Time arcs into itself. It is not a repeat, but a reckoning. Days can't help but walk two by two, the past and present, paired and paralleled. It is the future we save, from ourselves, for ourselves. Words matter, for language is an arc. Yes, language is an art, an articulate artifact. Language is a life craft. Yes, language is a life raft. We have recalled how to touch each other and how to trust all that is good and all right. We have learned our true names, not what we are called, but what we are called to carry forth from here. What do we carry, if not what and who we care most for? What are we, if not the price of light? Loss is the cost of loving. A debt more than worth every pulse and pull. We know this because we have decided to remember. The truth is, one globe, wonder flawed, here's to the preservation of a light, so terrific. The truth is, there is joy in discarding almost everything. Our rage, our wreckage, our hubris, our hate, our ghosts, our greed, our wrath, our wars on the beating shore. We haven't any haven for them here. Rejoice, for what we have left beyond will not free us. But what we have left is all we need. We are enough, armed only with our hands, open but unemptied, just like a blooming thing. We walk into tomorrow, carrying nothing but the world. The second poem is titled, In the Deep. We swam through the news like a ship bucking at sea. For a year, our television was a lighthouse, blinking, only in warning and never in warmth. We felt ourselves things bred in the night, hibernating from our own humanity. Grief made ropes of our arms. This whole time, what we craved most was only all that we have ever loved. The hours roved listless as a bike, drunk without its handles. Until, when, back to normal, we repeat an incantation to summon the before. We mourn the past more than we miss it. We revere the regular more than we remember it honestly. Don't we recognize all the ways normal can sputter and die? Yes, nostalgia has its purposes. Transport from the spectred. The jobs never coming back. The mother's primal screams. Our children's minds shuttered from school. The funerals without families. Weddings in waiting. The births and isolation. Let no one again have to begin, love, or end alone. The earth is a magic act. Each second, something beautiful on its stage vanishes, as if merely going home. We have no word for becoming a ghost or a memory. To be a member of this place is to remember its place, its longitude of longing. This elegy naturally is insufficient. Say it plain. Call us who we left behind. It's not what was done that will haunt us, but what was withheld, what was kept out and kept away. The hand clenched tightly with every black blow. We cannot fathom all these phantoms, but do not fear our ghosts. Learn from them. Slowly as the sea, we found the stubborn devotion to say, where we can, we shall hope. We found it in a million delicacies of enormity, an infant's full-chested chortle, July glassing our skin, music blurring a summered street, how when we're among friends, our laughter can stomp up from nothing. Through this hole, punched in the roof. We can see a stitch of sky. Our wounds, too, are our windows. Through them, we watch the world. We prayed for a miracle. What we got was a mirror. Watch as, without movement, we gather together. What have we understood? Nothing. What are we doing? Listening. It took us losing ourselves to see we require no kingdom but this kinship. It is the nightmare, never the dream, that shocks us awake. The next two poems are from the poet Elena von Lieshout. The first one is called To My Students. This is a poem for you, before whom I've stood on long mornings and hurried afternoons. You look at me with hope in August and with frustration by October, on what I fail to deliver for what you really need. The words that you refuse, that won't hold your flame, out of fear, anger, or a burden you can't share. Sullen face, you look away, or down at a screen, screaming silently louder for attention than I ever had for yours. You enter the class, holding the unfolded schedule in trembling hands, that I mistake for wonder and anticipation, but then so quickly put asunder when I speak of language and how it harnesses ideas. Revealed between pages and words, a veil drops over your joy, shielding you from such labor. But now I see the gift was never language itself, but the learning of it. Language needs to be seen and read and spoken, cultivating it with a hand, shaping it with a thought, loving it through a voice, as do you. So I write this for you and for language, for the power it creates in us, and for the power that is released from us. The second poem from Miss von Lieshout is Love is Not Proper. Today, I think in fragments, a mirror of myself, too paralyzed to move beyond the memories on a shelf. We've known that falling feeling, what we thought we knew as bliss, but unable to act and take a risk, we hide behind a made-up list of why nots and what ifs and only whens, you know, the typical riffs. But love is not proper. It heeds no closed door. It bursts through without ringing and says, here I am once more. It waits for no sunrise over the perfect view. It arrives during the thunder over picnics gone askew. It follows no grand ticking of a man-made golden clock that controlled at some point power to assume when love should knock. No. Love is driven by the fury, by the fire and heat within. It feeds the blaze no apology and flouts blanket, water, and sin. So don't tell me that you love me, from behind that pristine fence. Love knows no proper boundaries, but arrives with nicks, cuts, and dents. The authors whose poems were just read were from Elena von Lieshout, who was born in 1962 in Brooklyn, New York. Having lived and worked in many countries and locations, her life became a dynamic dialogue between places and people. With a Bachelor of Arts in Communication and Writing from DePaul University in Chicago and a Master's degree in English from Governor State University, also in Illinois, she taught high school and college English for 25 years in both Illinois and Florida. Her experience working with linguistically diverse students began a curiosity regarding the relationship between language use and a user's agency. Recently retired from teaching, Elena is now busy compiling the experiences of her life in classrooms and continents and writing about the relationships we create with language, the places we call home, and the surprising guides we meet along our way. She is working on her first book. The third author today is Theodore Seuss Geisel, known as Dr. Seuss. Dr. Seuss was born March 2, 1904, to September 24, 1991, when he died. He was born in Springfield, Massachusetts, and died in La Jolla, California. During these 87 years of his life, he was a renowned American children's author, poet, and cartoonist. Dr. Seuss was instrumental in children's literature with writing, rhymes, and illustrations that illuminated children and adults' perceptions of creativity and life. He published over 60 books with endearing characters, rhymes, and illustrations. Preciously remembered characters include the Grinch, Sam I Am from Green Eggs and Ham, the Cat in the Hat, and the Lorax. A few honors include a 1984 Pulitzer Prize Special Citation, 3 Caldecott Honors, 3 Academy Awards, and 2 Emmy Awards. The first poem I will be reading is a 33-stanza poem titled, Oh, the Places You Will Go. The second poem is titled, Did I Ever Tell You? Oh, the places you will go. Congratulations. Today is your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself in any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know, and you are the guy who'll decide where to go. You'll look up and down streets, look them over with care. About some you will say, I don't choose to go there. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not-so-good street. And you may not find any you'll want to go down. In that case, of course, you'll head straight out of town. It's opener there in the wide open air. Out there, things can happen, and frequently do, to people as brainy and footsie as you. And when things start to happen, don't worry, don't stew. Just go right along, you'll start happening too. Oh, the places you will go. You'll be on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights. You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang and you'll soon take the lead. Wherever you fly, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you will top all the rest. Except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say so, but sadly, it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. You can get all hung up in a prickly lee perch, and your gang will fly on. You'll be left in a lurch. You'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump, and the chances are then that you'll be in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. You will come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're darked. A place you could sprain both your elbow and chin. Do you dare to stay out? Do you dare to go in? How much can you lose? How much can you win? And if you go in, should you turn left or right and three quarters? Or maybe not quite? Or go around back and sneak in from behind? Simple it's not, I'm afraid you will find. For a mind maker upper to make up his mind. You can get so confused that you'll start in to race down long wiggled roads at a breaknecking pace and grind on for miles across weirdish wild space, headed, I fear, towards a most useless place, the waiting place. For people just waiting for a train to go, or a bus to come, or a plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or waiting around for a yes or no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. Waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for wind to fly a kite, or waiting around for Friday night, or waiting, perhaps, for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting. No, that's not for you. Somehow you'll escape all that waiting and staying. You'll find the bright places where boom bands are playing. With banner flip-flapping, once more you'll ride high, ready for anything under the sky. Ready because you're that kind of guy. Oh, the places you'll go. There is fun to be done. There are points to be scored. There are games to be won. And the magical things you can do with that ball will make you the winningest winner of all. Fame. You'll be famous as famous can be, with the whole wide world watching you win on TV. Except when they don't, because sometimes they won't. I'm afraid that sometimes you'll play lonely games too, games you can't win because you'll play against you. All alone. Whether you like it or not, alone will be something you'll be quite a lot. And when you're alone, there's a very good chance you'll meet things that scare you right out of your pants. There are some down the road between hither and yon that can scare you so much you won't want to go on. But on you will go, though the weather be foul. On you will go, though your enemies prowl. On you will go, though the heckin' cracks howl. Onward up many a frightening creak, though your arms may get sore and your sneakers may leak. On and on you will hike, and I know you'll hike far and face up to your problems, whatever they are. You'll get mixed up, of course, as you already know. You'll get mixed up with many strange birds as you go. So be sure when you step, step with care and great tact. And remember that life's a great balancing act. Just never forget to be dexterous and deft, and never mix up your right foot with your left. And will you succeed? Yes, you will indeed. 98.75% guaranteed. Kid, you'll move mountains. So, be your name Buxbaum or Bixby or Bray or Mordecai, Ali, Van Allen, O'Shea, you're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So, get on your way. The last poem today, written by Dr. Seuss, is called Did I Ever Tell You? Did I ever tell you about the young Zode who came to two signs at the fork of a road? One said, to place one, and the other, place two. So the Zode had to make up his mind what to do. Well, the Zode scratched his head and his chin and his pants, and he said to himself, I'll be taking a chance if I go to place one. Now that place may be hot, and so how do I know if I'll like it or not? On the other hand, though, I'll be sort of a fool if I go to place two and I find it too cool. In that case, I may catch a chill and turn blue. So maybe place one is the best, not place two. On the other hand, though, if place one is too high, I may catch a terrible earache and die. So place two may be best. On the other hand, though, what might happen to me if place two is too low? I might get some very strange pain in my toe. So place one may be best. And he started to go. Then he stopped and he said, on the other hand, though, on the other hand, though. And for 36 hours and a half, that poor Zode made starts and made stops at that fork in the road, saying, don't take a chance. No, you may not be right. Then he got an idea that was wonderfully bright. Play safe, cried the Zode. I'll play safe. I'm no dunce. I'll simply start off for both places at once. And that's how the Zode, who would not take a chance, got to no place at all with a split in his pants. Thank you for listening to this month's poetry segment and looking forward to being with you next month. We have run out of time today for today's episode of poetry. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Kelly Wall, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program was intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Visit North Carolina Reading Service.